Greg Laurie controversy, James chapter 1, answering the big Bible questions, Hillsong United song, and Vince Lombardi, all coming up on episode 19 of the Wayne Feeds podcast. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Wayne Feeds podcast. I am your host and friend, Dr. Wayne Hansen, the pastor of Summit Church of Castle Rock. You can hit me up on Twitter at Pastor Wayne H, and be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Epic Escape Game of Greenwood Village. They have a great 1 hour experience, and it's great for families and groups and maybe team building online. A wonderful time. And by Summit Church of Castle Rock, we're launching into a brand new series this week called Ask Anything. And of course, you can ask anything here on Facebook Live. You can ask anything on my YouTube or Twitter or any of the various social media venues that we have. But check out this quick 30-second promo about this new series coming up this coming Sunday at Summit Church. Today in the news, it's kind of an unusual news item, but many of you guys know about the Harvest Crusade in Southern California. It's been going on for over 25 years. Pastor Greg Laurie from Rivers, the Calvary Chapel of Riverside, California, part of the Calvary Chapel movement, is in a bit of a controversy over a banner that was put up at a mall near Newport Beach called Fashion Island. And if you've ever been to Orange County, it's one of the premier shopping destinations, a lot like Castle Rock is here in Colorado, or the outlets at Silverthorne. It's a lot like a place like that, but it's just off the ocean. And I want you to see this quick story about what happened with the Harvest Crusade banner that was put up at Fashion Island, and the controversy that so silly has seemed to ensue. So check this out.
Take a look at this billboard right there. It shows evangelist Greg Laurie holding a Bible to promote his upcoming Southern California Harvest Outreach event. A real estate company agreed to help promote it with large billboards, including one in a popular Orange County mall. But the company later claimed that they received so many complaints, including a threat for the religious imagery, the billboards ultimately had to be removed. Is this a sign of the times of faith being under fire? Greg Laurie, you know him, pastor of the Harvest Christian Fellowship and author of Jesus Revolution, joins us now. Pastor, thanks for being with us.
Anthony, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So tell us the story. How did all this unfold?
Well, basically, we hold an event at the Angel Stadium in Southern California. It's been going for 29 years. It's called the SoCal Harvest. I've been told it's the longest running large-scale evangelistic event in American history. And, you know, like, basically what it is, take what Billy Graham did, and we're doing a modern version of it, if you will. And so we proclaim the gospel, and we take out ads on billboards and posters and bumper stickers and such. So this year we decided to do a more overt image. And so it's a photo of me holding a Bible. And so, you know, now you can't tell it's a Bible. I'm not hiding the fact that it's a Bible, but if you're real technical, I'm literally holding a black book up. And since it's a black and white photo, it could have been a blue book, a yellow book. It could have been a book about butterflies, but it's a book. And so the mall, Fashion Island, said, yeah, they approved the art. They installed it. There it was, very prominently displayed in a couple of their malls. And there were some complaints about this offensive image. So then they came back to us and asked if we would change the image and do something more generic, which we agreed to. Then they told us they couldn't put any of it up because it was offensive. And I thought, well, why is it offensive now? You know, this is my Bible. I mean, why is it all of a sudden offensive to even reference this book? I mean, you think of the lives that have been impacted by this book, how our country was impacted by this book, this, you know, universities like Yale and Harvard and the Salvation Army, all started by people who believed the Bible was the Word of God. Martin Luther King influenced, believed by the Bible as the Word of God. Those who advocated for the abolition of slavery were inspired by what they read in the Word of God. So instead of being offended by it, maybe more people ought to read it and see what it has to say. That's what I talk about in our crusades.
Why is everyone so sensitive and offended by the Bible? There's so much good that comes out of Christianity.
Yeah. I think they don't understand it. You know, 9 out of 10 American households have a Bible. But the number one reason people don't read the Bible that's given by the American Bible Society is, well, they don't prioritize it. And I think you prioritize it, Ainsley, when you find you need it. And the Bible is filled with promises. It's sort of like gift cards. You know, people give you gift cards and, you know, they remain unclaimed. At least I get gift cards to places I never want to go to. And the Bible is filled with promises that are like gift cards that we can lay hold of. But most importantly, the Bible tells us how to know God and how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
I know. And I know that very well.
I don't think I'm telling you something you don't know.
Your book's amazing. Jesus Revolution. You got to pick it up. Pastor Lori, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. I wish you all the best at the harvest. And so much good has come out of this because we're talking about this on national television. All right. Also, we did reach out to the Billboard company, and they did not. We did not hear back from them for a comment.
Just
we did try to get their side.
They did. Yes, I talked to them last night. A representative of our organization did, and they apologized for it. But the banner is still, the Billboard is not back up, but just for the reference.
Well, it just doesn't look offensive to me. It's just
not
you holding it. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. God bless you.
Thank you.
What I know for sure is that the Bible oftentimes for people is offensive. Just having a Bible in your hand, just being a Christian, wearing a cross as a necklace around your neck, or saying the name Jesus, all these things can be offensive to people who don't believe in them. And yet, what often happens, I think, is we Christians, we're just quick to lay down and just let the world walk all over us, or we shrink away. And the Bible speaks about being bold, about not being, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And if you want to help stand with Pastor Lori and the Harvest Crusade, I have a screenshot here of the Fashion Island Facebook page. If you just go to that Fashion Island Facebook page, you can leave a comment on there, and don't be crude, don't be mean-spirited, but just say kindly, consider this, that perhaps there are other people who are offended that you took the ad down. And we have money, and we shop at your mall as well, so please put the banner back up. And so visit that Fashion Island Facebook page, make your opinion known, but do it in a kind and loving, gracious Christian way. And I believe that our opinion can be heard and respected, just as every vote matters. You know what they say is that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so oftentimes the voices that that complain the loudest, or the people who say the most, are the ones who get their way in culture. And so you like the Packers shirt there, Larry? It's good. Tonight's the first Green Bay Packer game tonight, playing the Tennessee Titans at home at Lambeau Field. I'm going to share a little Vince Lombardi inspiration here in a minute, so don't go away. Stay tuned, and we're going to get into today's inspiration and motivation for the day. All right, we're looking today at James chapter 1, and I'm doing this new series starting this Sunday called Ask Anything. Ask Anything. Now, I've had a few questions already that people have asked, and some of my sermons in the past have been based on a book written by Nikki Gumbel called The Big Questions of Life, or Questions of Life, and the Alpha Course seeks to answer all of those deep, big questions of life. Here's some of the big questions that many people ask. Is there more to life than this? What can I expect out of life? What's the meaning of life? Who is Jesus? Why did he die? How can I have faith? Why and how should I pray? Why should I read the Bible? How does God guide us? Who is the Holy Spirit? How can I resist evil? What about suffering in the world? Does God still heal today? What about the church? How can I make the most of the rest of my life? And we've got several good questions we're going to address this Sunday, but I would love to get more questions. So if you will, in the comment section there below, if you'll type in maybe a good question that we ought to address during the series, I'd love to have you do that. Or if you're on YouTube, put it in the comment section of YouTube, or hit us up on the iTunes feed as well, or email me again, my contact information, or you can direct tweet me on Twitter at Pastor Wayne H, at Pastor Wayne H, and I will take all of your questions and try to address them from a biblical standpoint. And if the Bible speaks to your question, we'll tell you what the Bible says. If there's a guiding principle, the Bible doesn't speak about it specifically, but there's a guiding principle, then I'll tell you what the principle is. And if the Bible doesn't speak about it, there's not a transferable principle from the Bible, then I'll give you my opinion. And I reserve the right to be wrong. And you should too. And I think that's how we're going to live our lives in a much more peaceful way in these turbulent times that we're living in. Too many people having too many opinions is what's gotten us into trouble. But I want to look at James chapter 1. And when we talk about asking questions, it's good to ask the pastor a question. It's good to ask Bible teachers a question. But you know what's even better is to ask God. Ask God for wisdom. Here's what James chapter 1, he says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without finding fault, or without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways." So it's good to ask questions. It's even better to ask God. It's even better to say, "God, will you speak to me? Will you give me your wisdom? Will you give me insight today? Will you strengthen me? Will you show me what I'm supposed to do? Will you guide me into conversations that you want me to have?" And I believe when you do that, he promises to answer. In my reading here in the Maxwell Leadership Bible, he talks about problem solving, that leaders must maintain perspective with problems. Oftentimes when we get into a problem or into a dilemma, we get lost in it and we think, "I don't know what to do. I'm at a dead end. I have no wisdom. I've tried everything I know how to try and nothing seems to be working." Well, here's what John Maxwell says about being in a dilemma in the middle of a problem, and the perspectives that we often have are skewed, or we think we're powerless. He says, "James is vitally concerned with the big picture living. After his brief greeting, he jumps into how to handle problems. Because leadership depends to a large degree on problem solving, James remains relevant to every leader. He teaches us to approach problems with three things. Number one, with contemplation. When you go into a problem, don't just make a snap decision. Don't just take any action. Sometimes the snap decision is the wrong decision. Oftentimes the snap decision is because it's made out of passion or it's made out of emotion. It's not well thought out. There's not a plan. There's not a strategy going in. So he says, just start with contemplation. He says, "We can find joy in the midst of problems only when we recognize that their purpose and results. The key is perspective. Leaders must think correctly about problems and see that their followers grow stronger through them." I think it was Rick Warren who said, "God never wastes your pain. Everything that you're going through, God can use for his glory and for your growth if you'll commit to grow through every problem, through every situation, through every challenge." So contemplation, number one. Number two, supplication. God gives us trials in such a way that we lack nothing in the end. James says, however, that if we do lack wisdom, we should ask God for it. And it's no sign of weakness for a leader to pray for wisdom when facing problems. A lot of people think that religion is a crutch. Can I tell you? It's not just a crutch. It's our whole hospital. Jesus is the only one that can fix us. Jesus is the only one that can help us. Jesus is the only one who knows the beginning from the end. He knows and orders the steps of your life. And to ask him for wisdom is probably one of the wisest things you could do. And it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of spiritual strength, not a sign of spiritual weakness. So contemplation, number one. Supplication, number two. And finally, number three, expectation. It says, "If we do ask God for wisdom, we must ask in faith, expecting his answer. Once leaders gain perspective and trust God for wisdom, the only thing left to do is to anticipate solutions and exude optimism. See, a lot of times I think we awfulize situations, or we worry so much that we just kind of doubt that God is really for us, or we half trust God, like, okay, God, I give it to you, and then we take it back from him again and try to control the situation all over again. Can I tell you, you'll do much better if you just take your problems, put them at the Lord's feet, and then listen to what the Spirit says, read the Word of God, pray, seek the wisdom. And God can speak through his word. God can speak to your heart through that still small voice. He can speak through your wife or your husband. He can speak through a coworker or a child or a neighbor or a friend. Look for the voice of God whispering in your ear saying, this is the way you should go. Walk this way. And as we obey that voice of God, you're going to find yourself in better and better places all the time. So that's today's inspiration and motivation. And I just realized I don't have my guitar in here, but we're about to do our next segment, so be patient with me, Facebook Live. I'll be back in about 20 seconds. I'm going to do one of my favorite Hillsong United songs called Jesus, Lover of My Soul, and it's getting to be a pretty old song now, but it's an oldie but a goodie. If you know it, wherever you are, in your car or on your phone, sing along.
Yeah. very end. Yeah, I will worship you, worship you, my Lord. Till the very end, Lord, I will worship with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and strength. Oh, till the very end, I will worship you. Till the very end, oh, I will worship, I will worship, I will worship you, oh, till the very end, Lord, I will worship you, I worship you, my Lord, until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, never let you go. You've taken me from the mire of clay, set my feet upon a rock. Now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
There we go, everybody. That's one of my favorites of all time. All right, well, glad we had the song of the day. That was fun. Once again, we are getting ready to launch a brand new series this coming Sunday at Summit Church of Castle Rock called Ask Anything. Ask Anything. You can literally ask anything. And it could be about the most awkward, difficult subjects you've always wanted to ask in church. Have you ever sat in the pew at church and wished you could just raise your hand and say, hey, can you tell me the answer to this question? Or, hey, pastor, can you pause the sermon for a second? I have a question. Well, this is your chance to do just that. You can submit your comments, questions through the social media. You can do it over my Facebook. You can do it through my Twitter. You can do it, message me online, and you can do it privately. In so many different ways to do it. I've got like two general questions from our church and then several that I'm going to answer from that book that I referred to earlier. But Ask Anything. It starts this coming Sunday, 10:30 a.m. at Castleview High School Auditorium. I'd love to have you join us for this Q&A series where you're in the driver's seat for this series. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about. And the Bible has all kinds of answers for life and godliness. So brought to you by Summit Church. And of course, today is also brought to you by the Epic Escape Game of Greenwood Village. You may experience the newest, hottest live entertainment activity, an escape room at Epic Escape Game in Greenwood Village. Gather your friends and family, enter a themed room. You have 60 minutes to search for clues, solve puzzles, and escape before time runs out. Can you make an epic escape? Perfect for gamers, family, friends, corporate team building, birthday parties, school groups, and clubs. Come experience an epic adventure. Stop the bad teddy bears, retrieve the president's briefcase, or escape a lab disaster. Visit epicescapegame.com/greenwood-village/ to book your next adventure today. Thank you so much, Epic Escape Game, and Miss Rebecca and their family. They are great members of our church and supporters of our ministry. Once again, I'm so glad you joined us today. I'm so excited. It's football season. Hey, Ryan Hutchison, go Broncos. I see that. I see that hand. I see that hand. And I have a final segment as we talk and think a little bit about what we're doing in the next few. It's a big day in the Hanson house because this is the day when we finally get to watch the Packers play against the Tennessee Titans tonight. And many of you guys know that I'm married into the Packers. I was born in Detroit and raised in Michigan part-time and raised in Wisconsin the other part of the time. I was a youth pastor in Green Bay. My wife and I used to babysit for Reggie and Sarah White, if you know those names in Packer history. But I found this great speech of Vince Lombardi Hardy doing a locker room talk in the epic movie called Lombardi, and it's so inspiring. I wanted you to see at least some of this speech from Coach Lombardi as we launch into our first football game of the season.
Gentlemen, these are the facts. We, at Green Bay, we are winners. Winners built on pride. We do not have losers. And if you don't believe that deep down inside of you, then pack your bags and get the hell out of here. Because here, we take pride in our work. Pride in our commitment to excellence. Pride in our family. This family, the Green Bay family, born and bred of pride. You get paid to win, and winners are made. They're not born, and they're made just like everything else is made. They're made by hard effort. So let's get tough out there and play till the end. Davis! When you're out there, you must commit to every play out on that field. Each and every second you're out on that turf. Each play! You'll be judged by what you do, and there'll be no excuses. Jimmy! When the ball hits your hands, nothing, not a dozen men, not an act of God can pull it from you. When you run, you run to win. You run to daylight. And when someone steps in your way, you run over them. You gotta be Clydesdales out there. 36 Clydesdale, pulling one sled in the same direction at the same unbridled speed. This is war, and we don't lose wars. Hell no. So let's get tough out there and leave no regrets on the field. You're in command here. I want you to march these men down the field and then go back again and again and again for more. Let nothing deviate your course. Take back the field. Now let's go out there and play some genuine football.
All right. Well, I know not everyone watching is a Packer fan, and I can appreciate that. But I want you guys to remember another thing that Vince Lombardi said was, it's not whether you win or lose, but it's how you play the game. So winners are made, first of all, in their attitude. If you keep a good attitude, you think like a winner, you play like a winner, you give it your very all, and you keep on giving your very all, and you never quit, you never give up, you never surrender, guess what's going to happen? You're going to win. Even if you have a few setbacks and you lose sometimes, if you keep on thinking like a winner and fighting like a winner and acting and talking like a winner, you're going to win. So I love that movie. And of course, I'm a Packer fan as well. But so glad that football season is finally here. Fall is finally here. It's going to finally start cooling off a little bit. And thank you for joining me today on episode 19 of the Wayne Feeds Podcast. Contact me if you want to hit my email. If one of those questions for the question and answer series, go to PastorWayneH@mac.com, or you can call the church office at 303-524-4000. Connect with us online, share this podcast, like it, or comment, and just be a blessing to somebody. If you think that this podcast would bless someone else, subscribe to it, share it, and I believe that God's going to keep using this as a ministry, as a point of encouragement for you right there on the smartphone, whether you're driving down the road or doing yard work. When you're listening to this podcast, think about ways that you can be a blessing to others. Until next time, I'm Pastor Wayne. Take care. God bless.